Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Download some friends.
This is Used Wigs Radio. I'm Crazy Aaron, and let's find out why none of us are wearing pants.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio podcast number 40, the big 4-0. In honor of this monumental show, we brought back one of our favorite guests, Crazy Aaron from Crazy Aaron's Putty World.
www.puttyworld.com. Hi, Aaron. How you doing, buddy?
Hello.
Aaron, we were just having a little discussion here. Were you on podcast number, Todd, you think four?
I think four if I did.
I'm going five.
It was five.
See,
a lot
Todd?
Has changed since the heady days of podcast five, Aaron.
I'm sure it has.
We're in bigger, better studio. We're in a different location. We decided to be 45 minutes away, inconveniently away from where we used to be.
That's true, but, you know, the journey is the reward.
Wow. Very, very nice.
Reminds me of, it's very Oprah. Yeah, Jeff, you didn't really read comics when you were a kid, right?
I read them.
But it reminds me of, like, when you'd be reading, like, Captain America number 300 and something, and it'd be like, asterisk, way back in Captain America 12. You'd be like, no way! Like, I wonder what happened in that issue. I think people probably feel that way about our podcast now, because everything lower than 37 is gone.
Yeah,
so everybody's like, oh my gosh, he was on podcast 5. That must have been crazy.
Aaron, I'm sorry, puttyworld.com, of course, and then the new owner of narblog.org, the other powerful site that's taking over the hamlet of Narberth, Pennsylvania.
That's right. Very, very popular blog. I think the readership is up to three or four.
Three or four, right.
Which
and that includes
of the inhabitants of Narberth.
That's right.
Now, Todd, I noticed when he mentioned that he is the owner of narblog.com to kind of give note to the town of Narberth, you immediately registered a domain, a competing domain?
Blogbirth,
wow. And you guys were once friends, and now you're going to be just competing for
competition can only make me stronger, Todd.
The eyeballs of Narberth, PA.
You can strike me down, buddy. I'm more powerful than that.
Guys, on tonight's show, I want to talk about a few things like tech and some cool gifts and some cool stuff that's out there because, Todd, you don't have kids. Russ, you don't have kids. So you're still, like, spending money frivolously on stuff that you enjoy. Aaron, you have kids. You don't buy anything anymore, obviously.
I can't imagine Aaron doesn't buy technology because of two kids.
I started moving backwards in time, actually.
Did you?
I've left. I'm now in the 1960s, the early 60s, and I buy all the antiquated gadgets on eBay.
I know. When you go to a Narberth family day, everyone has their tricked-out new digital cameras.
Yeah.
I saw Aaron with a brownie, a Polaroid, and something where you have to blow the smoke. The smoke comes off of it when after they take the picture. The poof.
He's
been stalking me.
Around because you came to that show. Yeah, with analog.
Yes.
That crazy old camera.
Yeah, no, I know, I really am.
No, he does.
Your morning exercise routine is to put that strap around your waist and it jiggles through this.
That's right, the 50s fat jiggler. I got one at a garage sale.
You look great.
And
I think you look great.
Thank you very much.
I ran across Aaron in a photography store downtown, and I'm like, what are you doing? And they're, like, blowing dust off these old packages of film. And Aaron goes, oh, I go buy everybody's old film. And like, no one, right? What were you doing?
I buy the expired film that has been sitting in the storeroom forever because it's heavily, heavily discounted. And there are certain films which go bad when they expire, and there are other films that are good forever. But you get the discount, and I'm cheap, so.
But do things happen to the film that make it more interesting? Like, do the colors go kind of crazy?
There are some films that happens, and... There are films that are better to shoot expired. Like, people age them like fine wines to get these crazy color shifts and all kinds of weird effects.
Are you into, like, retro analog things? Like, do you listen to records as well?
Not so much. My wife has a ban on any music that was produced after she graduated from high school, so we don't do a lot of music listening in the house, but mostly photographic and old electronics gear and stuff like that.
But he does like to dance the Charleston with no music, but just dance.
That's
the
right.
Charleston.
I just do it in my head,
right,
you know, like a person in an old age home.
You have a console television?
I hear it.
That sits on the floor.
This is Aaron's way. Aaron's just a real cheap bastard, and he's just his way of like justifying not getting anything new. You know,
that's part of it.
Of course not.
He's wearing a monocle. He's saving up for the other eye.
That's the power of radio.
The power of radio. Well, people, let's play a song. Let's start off the show with a little jolt of goodness, and then we will get into talking more about Neo-Luddite Aaron Muterick from PuttyWorld.com. I will play the first song, as always, and this band is Look Mexico with their new song, Done and Done.
You can be lighthearted, but you can't be funny. You can make a struggle, but you won't make money. You can scream, but you can't be loud. You might smile, but you can't act proud. Tell them to quit. Since your eyeballs work, there's no use for them. Just sit around and do what they want. Cause they'll tell it straight and they'll say it blunt. You can be lighthearted, but you can't be funny. Struggle, but you won't make money. You can scream, but you can't be loud. You might smile, but you can't act proud. So strip your organs and hang them to dry. But spare your fingers and point to the sky. It won't be weird and it won't be silly. Cause you're still intact and you look so pretty.
People, you were just rocking and rolling to the sounds of Look Mexico, and that was off their new album, This Is Animal Music, on Lugo Records. They're out of Tallahassee, Florida, and their website is myspace.com/Look Mexico. I really like these guys. A little touch of math rock, a lot of melody, good hook. Everything I like about music, Look Mexico.
We were racking our brains trying to figure out the grammatically correct way to use Look Mexico with no comma separating those. We couldn't come up with anything.
What we decided is it's a band name that is grammatically, it's just incorrect. It can only be correct if there's punctuation. If it was Look, comma Mexico, that would be like you're driving. You're like, Look, Mexico, like you're driving along the border.
What if it had the upside down question mark at the beginning and the regular question mark? So it was
Spanish.
But it was English in between. Look, Mexico. So that's okay. Kind of a, you know.
If it was like a directional thing, like you're in the middle of the United States, you could either look Mexico or look Canada.
Oh.
I didn't think of that one.
It was
good.
A look, colon.
So you're saying like face Mexico.
Yeah. So look, you're going to go down, you're going to look Mexico.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Right,
like
the corner.
Turn. It's basically you're saying turn your head south.
Right.
But that's kind of a regionalism. That's really not, you know.
Just saying, Jeff.
Yeah, it's you're getting into the realm of colloquialisms, and I'm just not really into that. Russ, another show where it's just going into the hellmouth of people of boredom, people tuning out because we're talking about punctuation and grammar. We noticed that Aaron just brought out something that looks like putty and it looks like a magnet, and together I'm only guessing that could be... Magnetic putty?
Magnetic, super magnetic putty.
Yeah,
called.
Have you been messing with that for a while?
I've been messing with it for a while. You know, we did have children, my wife and I, and that really slowed down the late night inventive processes. Right. But finally, the super magnetic putty called Strange Attractor.
Ooh, Strange Attractor.
Is with us. And
Russ, I believe that was your name on Match.com. Is that a rim shot?
And if we give it a little distance from the microphones, it can do its magic. And through the power of radio, someone can tell the audience what they're seeing.
Well, I'll do a little video right now. Let me do a little video with this little video camera.
First of all, so the putty is very similar to Silly Putty.
Right.
So it's consistency. It comes in bright colors.
And big handfuls.
It's so magnetic you think it would mess with the mics?
No, the magnet would mess with the mics.
That's
which
a
I will,
real strong magnet.
That's a real strong magnet. And the putty is black and has green sparkles, a la The Matrix. That was the kind of the look I was going for.
You know,
because that movie isn't played enough. So
I'm not familiar with it, but go
right.
on.
I still tell the story about when Aaron was first experimenting with his magnets. I love this story. He had these two super strong magnets that he was messing around with, and he got them too close to each other. Like they're so strong that if you put it, stick them together, you can't get them apart.
Ever?
Well, you can't do it with, like, normal human strength.
Right, you need, like, tools.
You need tools, but most tools are made of steel and iron, which means they want to stick to the magnets, which means...
I know a tool made of flesh and bone. He's sitting next to me. Go on.
But here's the thing. So he's got these two magnets, and he's kind of holding them in his hands, getting them close together, and he got them too close. They snap together and clamp, like, a little between his thumb and forefinger.
That's true.
And he just ripped it right out. Like, yes. Just chewed it out because he couldn't get them apart.
And it hurt.
Did that hurt? So this is putty that actually has magnetic properties. But oh my!
That's right.
Wow. Is it the green flecks that make it magnetic?
No, the green flecks are just the pretties.
Hey, Aaron, I didn't ask for a Viagra presentation here, but go on.
But that's what you're going to get, because we're going to do the snake charmer trick.
So what would the use for magnetic putty be? Could you stick it onto a refrigerator, the putty itself?
The putty will stick to the refrigerator because it's sticky. But we could say that it would stick to the refrigerator.
The putty's not magnetic.
The putty becomes magnetized. It'll actually pick up paper clips and stuff like that.
Wow.
Once it's been charged with the magnet like Russ is doing right now on the table.
Now, does this cost more than the non-magnetic putty?
It does. Because
it costs more to produce?
It does cost more to produce. It actually... That was part of the problem of commercializing it, was
come
figuring
here, boy.
Out a,
come
a
here,
formula
fella.
That would be cost-effective.
I mean, I'm trying to interview Aaron about this, and you guys are
I'm doing a tracking shot.
The thing of it, right, so I have the other putty that I brought was the not cost-effective putty, which is the putty that's made from real gold. It's colored.
What?
Colored with.
Do you sell this or
with
is
pure
this
gold?
A,
it's sold on the website
like crazy
now.
Crazy Aaron special badge.
No, well, it's
what sort of alchemy are you dealing
let's
with
say
here,
that
Crazy
they are,
Aaron?
They are handmade. I don't have a warehouse filled with hundreds of them, but they it's made with 1 gram of pure gold, and it sells for $100, $99.95.
Are you kidding?
Wow.
Have people bought it?
And it comes in this special gold tin, and let's just say that I've had interest from the Arabian Peninsula.
Well.
For something with a little more bling.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you sold these already?
Yeah. And, you know, that... I am willing to make whatever the customer wants.
That's it.
That's
right.
Crazy.
Golden putty.
Golden putty. And
so,
if you look at that up close, you'll see the little... all the little golden
right
pieces
what
in
about,
there.
What about other ones with, like, crushed jewels in them or something?
We could do, like, a crushed diamond putty, you know, with diamond particles.
Uh-huh.
That would actually not be too expensive. Industrial crushed
crazy.
Diamonds, you can get it.
What about... What about? Can you just do one blood diamond? So it's just... I mean, literally the blood... Of a very poor African who died mining.
We could get some kind of press and press the blood out and just mix it right in.
That'd be fantastic. Because, you know, a lot of people are like, I love diamonds, but I would only really wear a diamond if it had some sort of blood on it, because I think that's really important.
That's incredible.
That's pretty wild, man.
I think we should tell the listeners, though.
It's pretty ludicrous.
The people that didn't listen, 34 podcasts ago, the putty that's not magnetic nor made of gold is used for... I mean, it's a large chunk of silly putty-ish putty that people use...
To stress relief and play at their desk and basically not work while they're supposed to be working.
Russ, your wife uses it for sort of therapeutic reasons?
Yeah, my wife is an occupational therapist and she uses it with her patients.
So this is like midlife crisis putty. This gold putty, you know?
Yeah.
Like chicks, when they see you squeezing gold putty, they know.
They know. They know you. You've got it. That's right.
It is. That's a very odd request.
You know, there are a lot of odd people who visit my website.
But that's where it came from. It was a request.
Yeah, it was a request for something with a little more panache.
That's wild.
And
because the guy was embarrassed to squeeze bright green putty.
There are people in this world who want to have something that is more expensive than anybody else can afford.
Uh-huh.
And that goes for yachts, and apparently it also goes for putty.
Right. And I like the fact that you had to make the gold container so that people recognize that this
Well, that's right. I made a little special edition out of it. I thought that would be fun.
That's wild.
Aaron, I know we discussed built-in obsolescence, which would very much help your repeat business. Any sort of flavored putty that you could play with it, and when you're done, like maybe some sort of caviar or faux gras putty.
Yeah. Like a putty you could also use as a chewing gum with peppermint flavor.
Just something you could just eat when you're done with it. You know, you have a good workout with it, and then you just want
to... Well, you can eat it. You won't be able to play with it for about 2 days, 3 days. You know, and then just pick it up at the other end. And that could be good practice if you're planning to go to prison or any place where you need to practice that kind of a...
That is a skill.
You know, yes.
This guy, Aaron, is an answer for everything. I think while Todd is playing with his bling putty, we will be listening to a little band, Russ, that you like to call Blivet.
Yeah, Blivet is a fantastic Philadelphia band, and if you ever get the chance to see them live, it is highly recommended. They're unbelievable musicians. This is off their new album, and this is a track called The Beginning.
This is the beginning. Sparkles and shines just like magic. Just like pulling rabbits from a hat. This is the beginning.
Title track off their latest album, The Beginning.
I saw Blivet play.
Did you?
Yeah, they're good. They played at a grand opening of an Eastern Mountain Sports by me. They played outside and they were rocking out.
That's how you know you've made it.
Well, you know what? Those guys, they play really big gigs, but they're hungry. They'll play anywhere. And they're fantastic.
No, I think they played because it was the whole like Eastern Mountain Sports as a type of person, you know, like I'm an outdoorsy, indie, independent guy who's cool and I listen to music that's not, you know, Dave Matthews and, you know, that kind of crap. So, but no, they're really good. Like, I just walked by to go get a $12 cup of coffee, and then I ended up sitting there for a good part of the morning listening to them.
I couldn't help but think more about Russell's comment about the comic books and how they would reference and cross-reference previous issues, the little asterisks. And I just wonder, is it someone's job to read through the comic books and be like, oh, that reminds me of blah, 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 that happened in issue 14.
I don't think that it's like, that reminds me. I think that the writers probably go in saying, like, you know, they if they're writing for comic book, they probably have some...
Well, the reason they do that, the main reason they do that is marketing. No, they from the day one, whenever, it's like when you put a link in a story to another one of your stories, it's they reference episode issue 14, so you're like, I have to go get issue 14.
Yeah, the only thing is that, like, you know, Marvel is not making any money off of an issue that was, you know, 20 years ago anymore.
But no,
collectors or anybody who has, I mean,
it increases the interest.
It increases interest, but they know people are still going to go try to get that then.
Right. Well, actually, have you seen that now Marvel.com is making old issues of comic books available on a subscription basis.
In digital format, right.
In digital format. And it is awesome. The interface is very cool. And again, it's issues of comic books that you would have to have thousands of dollars to be able to read. Like the first Captain America where he fights Hitler.
Right.
Like,
nobody would ever know what was even in that story because they don't own it.
Exactly.
Right.
You'd have to have like $50,000 to even get your hands on it. And now, you know, it's reproduced perfectly digitally on their website. And it's like $5 a month. And they continually add like back issues from all these comic books. It's really cool.
That is the future of us consuming all... Probably
all maybe comic books.
All media,
papers. Yeah.
Well, actually, did you see that just I think it was just today, Amazon, if you go to Amazon's homepage, it's all the little things that you can buy are all gone. There's just a big message saying, you know, today we put out, Amazon.com actually put out their own product. It's a reader.
Yeah.
Have you seen? Mm-hmm. I mean, you probably have seen
it. I read about it on Newsweek yesterday.
It wasn't introduced in 1968, so I haven't seen it recently. It's a year I'm working on.
What there's, and I haven't seen it, and the reviews are all over the place, but it's by people who haven't even touched it yet. So it's kind of like what Jeff does with movies.
It's,
but the thing is, like, apparently it has, like, a super high-res screen that looks more like paper. It's called, like, electronic paper.
Oh, it's e-paper, sure.
Yeah, and you can download, like, you know, it's the size of a paperback, and you can have thousands and thousands of books on it.
200.
Okay, what, books?
200 books, okay. And it's onboard
but you
memory.
You also can change the...
next year it'll be 400, then it'll be 800.
Yeah, you can put a different size memory chip in there.
Right? Oh, right.
The screen really is phenomenal.
Yeah, but how many books
have you seen?
I have seen it. I saw it at a Borders. And when it was a Sony e-reader, but it's the same screen technology. I actually thought it was the plastic mock-up because it had that shiny display when they put a fake screen on something, but it was the real screen.
Wow.
Amazon right now, 90,000 books, including bestsellers, and they're going to price them at $9.99 each.
The problem is the DRM, the digital rights management. I mean, are you going to have access to those books you paid $10 for in 10 years? Or is that reader going to be broken and you'll have to upgrade or you'll lose your license key?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Versus a real book.
Now,
that
didn't
you can
Apple
carry
just
from
get rid of their
apartment.
Didn't Apple and iTunes just get rid of their rights protected?
They've started to open it up, and the reason for that is because they want to move into Europe in a big way.
And Europe is the EU
European
is
Union is
it.
Very much against the closed boxed model.
Well, they've been using all of MP3 for years out of Russia. And
right.
It's
so Apple would rather have some part of the business than no part of the business.
Isn't that great, though, when an entity besides the U.S. can dictate business? It's not very often that, you know what I mean, like a monolithic company like Apple, who's just like, we'll do what we want, we'll set the standards in business. Oh, wait, hold it, you're not going to... All right,
the same thing's going to happen with the iPhone. It's the same. Apple's going to have the same problem when they move into Europe. And no, it's not bad to have pushback. At the same time, the EU, you know, they have a lot of bluster. You can look up their...
Speaking of iPhone, can I tell you, I saw a commercial with the Pilot. Have you seen what people with the iPhone, the testimonials, they come in front of a black screen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a real annoying one. It's like a Pilot. He's like, you know... We were delayed. Then I looked on my super cool iPhone and I realized the weather's not bad. So I said, hey, the weather's great. Let's just go anyway. Yeah. And then we took off. Man, the iPhone, it's doing some great things.
Wow, Pilots are rich and smart. I want an iPhone.
So I went on a website, a blog site that was basically devoted to airlines. I don't know why. I was just killing some time. And one of the pilots was just, they're all pissed off about this commercial because it gives them headaches. Because now every MF-er with an iPhone on their plane, when they say, we're experiencing a delay, sits in the back and goes, oh, excuse me, it's not raining here, it's too late, we can take off, I just checked my weather. So, like, this happened to one pilot, so he's like, you motherfuckers, you know what, want to hear what the pilot said? the pilot's like, oh, okay. The stewardess said, we just got a report from one of the passengers that said the weather's fine. We can actually take off. The pilot goes, okay, if the passenger with the iPhone would be kind enough to use it to check the weather at our alternate, calculate our fuel burn, and begin to reroute all the storms, call the dispatcher to arrange our release, then make a phone call to the nearest air traffic controller to arrange a timely departure among the other aircraft carrying passengers with iPhones, then we'll be more happy to depart. Please ring your call button to advise the flight attendant and your other fellow passengers when you will deem it ready and responsible for this multi-million dollar aircraft and its passengers to safely leave. Like, that's how angry the pilots are.
Show prep. I can't believe you memorized all that.
I know. Sometimes, sometimes when I read something, it just sticks. But you know, when I saw the commercial, I'm like, this is going to drive pilots crazy. Because everyone wants to be a know-it-all with the least amount of information. Excuse me, I have an iPhone. And what it tells me is I know a lot. And especially, I know you're a pilot. I would, if I was a stewardess, I would, as people walked down with their stupid iPhone, I would smack it out of their hand and take my stewardess high heel and just crush it. Oh, Aaron, do you have an iPhone?
My wife has an iPhone. She's the one with the bling. I'm the one in the 60s.
She's the spendthrift, crazy gadget queen. The Todd, if you will.
That's right. Oh, I lost another piece. There goes $100.
I did see Elizabeth in the Acme, and I didn't even notice her under all the jewels and the tiara and everything. It was very odd. Let me just steer back to Todd with the continuity question. Do you know there's a person at the publisher of Harry Potter who her whole job is just continuity.
Like, you remember who's gay and who's not gay in the book?
Right, that's actually the top of her
list.
That's
a separate database. It can't touch.
Well, the database, the one entry is Dumbledore, and the second field is yes for the gay. And that's it.
That's the whole database.
That's the whole database.
Most large franchises do have a continuity person. I mean, you have your set continuity people who take all the Polaroids to make sure that the outfits fit from scene to scene, and the hat was turned to the right.
But those people stink, because part of the best part of movies is the flubs. Like, the blatant flubs where it's just like on a different strokes, Todd Bridges is talking to Arnold, and his three buttons are buttoned up. They pan back, and then it's one button buttoned up. And, you know, and that would drive me crazy as a kid.
How many times did you rewind that on the DVR to...
No, it's just when I was a kid. I just noticed it. Like,
I know that I've seen it somewhere, and I feel like it was maybe Star Trek, where there were a lot of things that were, like, off between the first series and the other series and all that kind of stuff. And then, like, on this website, people would be like, you know, this doesn't make sense. And then you'd have like a super fan be like, actually, it does, because if he traveled back in time and did this on episode this, then he could have done this. Like, you know, like all these reasons why it could have worked.
The fans are great. There is a website that had posts from Usenet from back in the early 90s, mm-hmm. where every science fiction ship was pitted against each other, and all of their features were, you know, how the battle would turn out with an Imperial Destroyer against the USS Enterprise. What if the USS Enterprise encountered one of the Raider ships from Babylon 5?
I hear you.
And breaking down exactly who would win each battle. That person needs to get a girlfriend.
But who won, though? The Death Star, right?
The Imperial Star Destroyer was pretty powerful, although there was some stuff from Babylon 5 which could
push
back against the Empire.
Pretty silly, Aaron. A Raider from Babylon 5, please. I believe a Raider is from Battlestar Galactica.
Apparently, it was not as big a surprise as we had hoped for.
Excuse me. I just checked on my iPhone.
Well, the people get all bent out of shape about a button being an extra or not as many buttons being buttoned up, but then they can completely suspend that there are aliens and they're beaming back.
Let's just say I was just pretty tuned in on what Todd Bridges was wearing back then, okay? I really was into, you know, what you wearing, Willis. That's what I used to say.
Did it bother you that Gary Coleman never grew?
No, he didn't. I never noticed. All right. You know what, guys? I think all our throats hurt from all the fantastic talking we were doing. So why don't we play a little song? Todd, let's play something that you like, and let's see if other people like it.
This is the Greyhounds. I just saw these guys Friday night open for Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah at...
Yeah.
Where'd you see them?
Good question. Where did I see? The Starlight Ballroom in Philadelphia. And by the way, someone just got shot dead there.
What?
Oh,
I read about that.
That's right, real street cred.
But it was the first show since, and they were only serving Coca-Cola and other sodas. Yeah, non-alcoholic.
Alcohol was a factor in the shooting.
It was, yeah. People got drunk. It was like a hip hop event. People got drunk and then
the guns come out.
Caps. So, oh, jeez,
Todd.
Yeah, please.
The Greyhounds. And I think certain evidence of that would be the existence of golden $100 putty.
Speaking of putty, we have the a glob of putty, the magnetic putty, that strange attractor, if you will, and it's eating the magnet. So right now, it's like someone stepped in quicksand, we forgot about him, we came back, and now we only see the calic of his hair sticking out.
That's a fantastic analogy.
Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Wow, but actually, Aaron saved it. And so Aaron, if we left this magnet in that glob of putty, it would suck it to the core of
That's
of
right,
the
it
putty.
Would it would disappear from the surface, and it would move to the center,
now,
and it would be held at the center. It wouldn't fall all the way
Is this
down.
Glob of sentient material, is it able to then take the essence of the magnet and then bring it into its own and then basically come to life and then wreak havoc upon...
As far as you know.
Ooh, this looks really cool. This strange attractor is pretty scary.
What other putties do you have? Do you have glow-in-the-dark putty?
We have four glow-in-the-dark colors, mm-hmm. and we have heat-sensitive. They change color when you touch
like
them.
Hyper-color.
What about your sensitive putty, where if you say something to it, like, it just gets really upset?
It turns blue and crawls into a corner and doesn't talk to you for 2 days.
I'm waiting for some being in the future to come back and kill Aaron and destroy this putty, because it's just about to become self-aware.
That's what I'm afraid of. If you're, like, I'm sitting here, I'm talking, and I'm watching this putty eat the magnet. And it seems very, like, happy and like, confident in itself that it's doing this. It's like, you're next.
It's anyway. Like the gelatinous cube game from Wayne's World. You know, it eats the little guy.
Speaking of games, I read something. I'm not a gamer, but I know some people are. The Wii, just crazy popular, Todd. I know you're a big Wii guy. And I was just reading, they might have a problem having enough Wiis out there.
They do have a problem.
Right, but isn't that amazing? I mean, is that one of those things? I mean, is it... Do they have the problem, or are they just holding back because they're still...
No, they have a problem. They would love to sell.
Oh, they would.
If
right,
they could, sure.
Right now...
Don't you think that if you just fall short, it's better for long-term sales? Like, if you can always hover around 5% deficit for the demand and the supply...
That makes... I agree with Todd.
Perhaps.
I don't know. The problem is that when you don't have enough, they go on eBay for more than the retail price, and the manufacturer has no benefit there. Right.
We're learning
some
economics.
Speculators here. In this whole secondary market of people who hang out in front of the Toys R Us, waiting for the truck, run in, buy five, and then sell them on eBay and make $100 a pop.
That is an excellent point.
Did you hear that there's a big shortage of Zoom right now?
No, there's not.
Yeah, there is.
And how?
There's,
why?
There's a lot of demand.
People are buying.
Oh, because they're really cheap now, right? They really lowered the price on Zoom.
I don't know what it is. Is Zoom like the iPhone? But it's,
no, it's the
iPod. It's Microsoft's iPod.
Microsoft's iPod. And there's a huge demand for it, and they can't meet it.
It sounds to me like it could be like, you know, the Dianetics book with the L. Ron Hubbard, where Scientology would publish the book and then buy all the copies to put it to the top of the bestseller
list.
Is that
what they did?
Yeah.
Oh, for years.
Yeah, that was. That's how it was a number one bestseller.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
I know.
What do they do with the copies? They give them out, or they put them in a landfill next to the ET?
They probably went to the bottom of the ocean under L. Ron Hubbard's yacht in the Caribbean. Who knows?
Wow.
Guys, I need...
Before Jeff says what I was going to say next, do yourself a favor and go to YouTube and type in rejected Wii games.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Very, very, very funny clip. Okay.
Oh, I love that, Russ. That's
Has anyone ever seen Custer's Revenge on the old Atari?
Yeah, we discussed it. We had a podcast
about
it.
Yeah,
it's great.
That's a rejected game. No doubt.
That's one of my favorite pixelated rape games I've ever played.
People not in the know, though, you should explain.
Custer's Revenge is an Atari 2600 game which somehow passed muster with Atari executives. And
it wasn't Atari. It was
Activision. It wasn't even
Activision. It was like there's a third-party company that made these X-rated games.
Oh, Rapetronic LTD.
Well, it passed the attention of people who should have known better, and it involved tying a squaw to a post and raping her with
your joystick. Yeah.
In fact, it's one of the more collectible Atari 2600 games. I mean, banned stuff always raises value, and it was pulled from the market. And if you have a copy, you can sell it on eBay probably for $75, which is
right.
A lot.
You can, there's a couple of, on Putty World. They're also selling, of course.
It's in the accessories category, and they're $49.95.
That actually surprises me that it's that low. I would have expected it to be.
Let's see what it does.
Even though it was pulled, they still probably made tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. So there's a lot of them out there.
How many millions of units sold do you think the Wii has sold this year? Well,
To guess?
Yeah, just to guess.
12. Like,
wow, Aaron's good. 13.7. All right, while you two are geeking out of there, I will give you the Wii is leading with 13.7 million units sold, and then the Xbox by Microsoft, 13.2, and Sony's very, very sad PlayStation, which no one's playing, with 5.6 million units sold.
The people who are buying the Xbox are people who like the games they played last year and want to play slightly better versions of them now.
Right.
Versus the Wii people, which are people who traditionally may not have bought a game console.
Well, Todd,
the opposite of breaking news, Russ and I just found on eBay a copy of A Sealed Custer's Revenge.
Ooh.
For $75. And I tell you what,
Todd is just putting in a bid right now.
Too much, Aaron. He knew the
that was a guess. That was totally a guess.
Yeah.
The company is Mystique that makes these things.
It's actually put. It's
oh, Mystique is the
Aaron's Putty Works.
Yeah, of course.
Cover is.
No one gets in plugs better than this Aaron. Another topic I want to hit on, and this is to do with tech and new stuff. You know, the writer's strike, everybody's like, you know, what are we going to do with no original TV and stuff like that? I said this is only going to precipitate the downfall of network TV, which we discussed a few podcasts ago about where people go to get their other forms of entertainment. You know, they're showing, like, MySpace reinvented itself. They're showing original programming on their it's MySpace TV. And they have a show called Quarter Life, and the people who made it are people behind 30-something in my so-called life. So they're legit people. So they make this show, and it's doing phenomenally well. It's Quarter Life. It's about, like, young 20-somethings. People are digging it. So you're like, people are watching that. People watch a lot of this stuff online anyway. So NBC right now is like, shit, we don't have any original programming. You know, we don't have any writers. So they just cut a deal. They are now going to buy this show and air it on NBC.
Wow.
So they're
That's
like,
big.
It
That's
is big, because I think these were, there are 36 episodes, and each episode is 8 minutes long. So they're going to kind of take, I don't know, four episodes, put them together for like a nice half-hour show. So this is like the networks being like, all right, we have to get in bed with the online shows because, you know, what else are we going to do? Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, it's telling when my parents stopped feeling like they needed to go home to watch their show.
Wow.
And
your parents,
they decided to sit in front of the computer on full screen and watch it online. I was blown away. This had no involvement from me or any technical savvy
person.
That's
pretty good.
They just figured out how to do it on their own because of their interest. I mean, classical television is on. And plus, with the end of terrestrial broadcasting, traditional,
but,
in 2008, or early 2009, all the old people who have these old TVs that aren't going to work anymore, yeah, they're going to have to go somewhere else.
Oh, there's not going to be airwaves anymore?
Well, it's going to be all digital. So all the televisions that were manufactured since now will cease to function.
What?
That's the airspace that Google is bidding on for their phone, is the television spectrum, which is being auctioned off to raise more money.
Wait. So all the TVs right now that are not
digital
won't work.
That's correct.
There won't be any like kind of adapter.
Well, Congress is probably going to, if you ask me what's going to happen, Congress is going to pass a bill that would pay for everyone who wants one to get an adapter box for free.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know.
But that has not yet happened. That will happen, but it has not yet
Epilogue
happened.
To Aaron's parents. Aaron walked in his parents, and they were watching the microwave. So you thought they were very, you thought they were doing, you know, something like I did. They tried, but they didn't know.
That sweet didn't. Radioactive glow.
Right. Well, you know what? The only thing that would help such a conversation is a little song. And I'm not playing favorites by playing this game. Oh, yes, I am. This is The Playing Field.
It's what's best for us. Come.
Was The Playing Favorites with their song Indigenous. That was from a new CD I Remember When I Was Pretty on Suburban Home Records. And you might recognize that voice. That was Joey Cape from the almighty Lagwagon, one of my personal favorites. This new CD is quite, quite good. And you guys are laughing because they're one of your favorites, too. You just didn't recognize the voice.
I thought I recognized that voice. From
Lagwagons, huh? Todd, you recognize Josh Groban, and that's about it, who you secretly like.
This reminds me of the Lagwagons.
It's Lagwagon. Stop being stupid. I don't call your favorite bands. I don't say the John Tesh. I don't say... Right, Todd? I don't say the Dirty Projectors when it's Dirty Projectors.
John Tesh says the John Tesh.
He certainly does. He wrote a...
That's how he refers to himself.
That's right.
The John Tesh will have the Denver omelet.
Him and Bob Dole.
Anyway, there's a new trailer, kind of like the, remember the Blair Witch came out, and there was that whole, wow, what is this? What's going on with this new movie? This is crazy. I don't understand it. It's so ambiguous. There's a new movie.
And then they threw up when they saw it.
Right.
I actually went to the theater to see that, and someone literally threw up.
Yeah, I almost lost it. I was holding it back.
Really?
Yeah.
While watching
just from the,
from the
unsteady camera.
So it was seasick.
Unsteady.
Did you see it early on? After everybody knew what it was.
Get seasick, so that totally fits.
After everybody knew what that movie was, then it kind of was.
Do you know it was real?
It was a bad movie.
But I saw it before, like the word was out that it was fake.
And what did you think?
Well,
you thought it was real, or it could be real.
I didn't think that it was real, but it was.
Russ, scammed by email. Now scammed by movie.
Because I hadn't heard anything about it really, and I went in very blind.
Uh huh.
It was pretty affecting.
Well, I had a guy who was, when I went to see, and you had to check your baloney detector at the door. You weren't allowed to bring it in, so maybe that's.
If I could just get back on point right before, we'll get back to you, Aaron. No, I was just going to talk, you guys heard about Cloverfield, the movie? That's when I brought up the whole Blair Witch. Yeah, Cloverfield, like in the beginning of the summer, there were all these like little film clips like, have you checked this out? And it's just like this jerky camera showing people at like a 25th birthday party in a bar, then the next thing you know there's an explosion and then they show like, oh my god, what's happening, and then that's it.
Blair Witch 2.
Right, you know, it's that kind of like, what's going on? And it turns out it's a new movie by the guy who's producing Lost or one of those. It's J.J. Abrams, and it's a new monster movie, and the cool thing is they show that, and then the next thing they show is like this giant explosion and the Statue of Liberty's head gets lopped off.
I saw that
when I went
to the
movies. Flying down the street as people are running.
So it's like a Godzilla kind of movie?
We don't know. Like,
or
that's the
Planet of the Apes?
Right. No one knows if it's aliens or a giant monster.
Thundar the Barbarian?
Ah!
Well, this. Thundar.
These are all the times that the Statue of Liberty was crumbled.
That poor Statue of Liberty.
Well, this is the new movie. So this caused a lot of to do.
But when is it coming out? Because I'm tired of waiting.
January 18th. They just released the big trailer. You can go to apple.com, their trailers.
Of course, it doesn't clear anything up.
It does. You know what the thing is, though? What I was bringing up is they build up the cool. And then they show the whole trailer. You're like, yeah, it's just another movie.
Maybe they shouldn't release the movie and keep the mystery. Like,
it would
be good,
that was
right. never released.
They could have made money just off
and
of
they could
that.
Sell t-shirts and stuff.
There you go. Like, right?
They could probably make money from merchandising.
So the thing is, the trailer came out.
A big gold cup.
Absolutely. They could turn a 7-Eleven into a Cloverfield Farms.
They certainly could. Any of you guys, do you have any cool gifts picked out? Anything neat that you're like, oh, I saw this, I can't wait to give this or get this as a gift? Like, yeah, Todd, you're always into the latest gadgets and whatnot. And
I put a bid on Custer's Revenge.
Todd.
You know, here's my recommendation for a gift at our age. You know, we're at that point now where you either buy for kids you know, or if you haven't had kids yet, like, Christmas is kind of the stale thing where, like, you know, do you get gifts for other, like, adult friends or adult family members?
Or adult gifts for people.
Yeah, like, inflatable.
But, ironing board.
But the one thing I like to do, and it's
got you some starch for the ironing board.
Go to a Borders or a Barnes & Noble's and go to the magazine section and pick a magazine that you think might appeal to that person. Pull the card out and then, you know...
Get them a subscription.
And then put a silly name so the person is reminded once a month that it was from you.
Right.
You know, like, whether it be Aaron's friend, blah, 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 or, you know...
Right.
Like, so, that's
good.
That's what I like to do.
Yeah, thank you.
Maybe I embroidered them something.
You know, I'd recommend for adults and larger children...
most children are
from
large.
A variety of websites, RC helicopters.
Ooh, what's
super
that?
Fun. They're like little remote-controlled helicopters that are smaller than the palm of your hand, and they fly around the room, and you can fly them into people's heads while they're opening their gifts on Christmas. They really are, and you can get they come like with pairs so that two people can duel, and they can have air battles. Where they smash into each other, and they're made of styrofoam, so they can really take a pretty good beating.
Oh, really? I was gonna say, because I imagine
and they're break right they're now. Like $30 for or $40 for two. I mean, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
When he said for larger children, I'm like, what is it, like snack cake of the month? Like, I was expecting something just for fat kids, you know?
Like, friends, a couple years ago, they got me the Jerky of the Month Club.
Well, that's interesting.
And it was once a month, I got sent, like, this gourmet beef jerky.
Was it good?
It was fantastic.
Yeah, like, ostrich and alligator.
No,
and,
it was all beef.
It was all beef, but it was like, from all around the country. And, like, and it was, you know, cured all different ways. It was really good.
Wow, I think I'll get that for myself.
But hey, you know, it was a good gift. I mean, it's actually fairly expensive, but if you go online, the Jerky of the Month Club.
Russell, hey, Slim Jim, move over. We got some new stuff here. Yeah.
My wife pulled a trick once on this random guy who worked with a friend of hers, where she created the impression that he had been signed up for the Candle of the Month Club. And I would just buy any fancy candles I saw at garage sales for 25 cents. And she would pack them up in a box, and we'd put a fake address, you know, fake return address, Candle of the Month Club, with a phone number.
That is awesome.
And we would mail them to this guy's work. And then her friend, who had the desk next to him, he would, you know, where is it coming from? Who gave me this gift? Right, et cetera. It went on and on and on for 12 months, and then she stopped because, of course, the gift subscription had ended. So she got to hear a third party, you know, his reaction, and she never even met the guy.
That is fantastic. That is, like, something really great. If you have the perseverance to go all 12 months and just find crappy candles.
Awesome. Some of them were in packaging. Some of them had been lit once already. I mean, these were garage sale candles. I wasn't looking to spend a lot of money.
That is pretty cool. I like photos. I like, you know, I'm really into frames and photos. So, I really dig the digital frames, digital frames?
Digital picture frames, sure.
So you could take, like, a little card, put in, like, you know, 400 photos, and it is really nice.
Do you have one?
I got one for my mom a while back, and, you know, loved it. Everyone loved it. This was a year ago, and it was, like, the new crazy technology. But I want to get one. Now they have Wi-Fi capable ones where the frames have email addresses.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. So you could set up a Flickr account with this frame, upload your photos to Flickr, and it will automatically... just, you know, rotate them in, and it's like your own little photo-based computer that manages the photos.
There is one that has a it's basically a cell phone service. You have to pay a monthly fee,
right,
for grandma who doesn't have Wi-Fi in
her house, right,
so that it can download the pictures. That was Google's gift last year to their customers, the people who buy the ads on Google. They gave a digital picture frame.
Wow.
There are cameras now that also, instead of using a memory card, will go right to it, will dump the photographs as you're taking them to a Flickr account.
Do you trust that? I mean, if you took photos on a camera, you're saying there's no disk in there to capture, it just captures. Because
memory card is built into the camera.
Oh, it still uses a memory card.
No, it's not. It's non-user removable. Yeah. I mean, there has to be something in the camera to hold it.
Okay,
pictures.
I just don't want some sort of, like,
I wouldn't use it, but
right.
Some people might.
Because if you, you know, let's
what kind of photograph you take, I suppose.
I guess
that's true. If you were doing some sort of sub rosa activity,
crossing
or something
state lines with
Yes. Okay, Russ is giving me the signal that we need to play another song. So why don't we play something that we picked out and got permission for, Russ?
This is, they're kind of like an underground legend in Philadelphia. This is a Philly band that's been on the scene for a while. They're called Stick Shift Rocket Ship. And this is a song called Johnny Cash Machine.
Ooh. with your perfume in my hair. I cried like Freddie Mercury in autumn when I lost my favorite earring in your easy chair. You're a lovely kind of lady. I can see you picking daisies in the garden. How I hate it when you close the door and walk away. I look into the mirror every morning and practice happy faces with myself. I like to think I notice all your empathy, but I got this sinking feeling coming over me. You're a lovely kind of lady. I can see you picking daisies in the garden. How I hate it when you close the door and walk away. Incidentally, did you ever hear how Jagger was a queenie and the king was queer?
That was Stick Shift Rocket Ship, and that was Johnny Cash Machine. And you might be familiar with those guys. I mean, they played out a lot in the late 90s. Used to play places like the TLA in Philadelphia. And actually, the drummer from the live version of the band is now in the Pernice Brothers. He was also in the Bigger Lovers, which is a fairly big name.
Pat Mercury.
That's correct.
Fantastic drummer. He's tall, too.
And their website, where they have a bunch of free music for download, is swankcountry.com.
Swank Country. Or go to swank.com, and you'll see something completely different. let's do some shout-outs. Russ, do you have a shout you'd like to out?
I do have a shout. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, the video group that I work with, we won first place in the Dogfish Head Ale video competition this year. We took it down to thank you, Aaron. We took that film down to the Rehoboth Beach Festival last week, and we hung out with the owner of Dogfish Head Ale, Sam Calagione, I guess it is.
That's a crazy name.
Yeah, but I want to shout out Dogfish Head Ale in general, because number one, their beer is fantastic, but it's just a really well-run organization. The owner is a fantastic down-to-earth guy. They're really involved in the community. I mean, they're just really a
where are they based out of?
Organization. They're based in Rehoboth.
Oh, right there. Wow.
In Delaware. So, you know, they're worth supporting, and you're getting something for your money, because their product is fantastic as well. And actually, now they're branching off into, they're making like small batches of vodka and rum.
Dogfish Head Ale.
Correct.
Love it.
Go drink some.
I love beer, and I love that kind of beer. I drink that quite often, Russ. I like to get drunk. Todd?
The Format, which is a band that I think you guys have heard of and maybe like.
I have.
They came out with the B-Sides and Rarities album, which is pretty cool, and they do two covers. both of which I think are really unique selections. Ape Man, the Kinks tune that we've actually played.
Yeah.
Back
in the day.
No, we never played it.
We never played it. Remember you... No, you sang it...
played it.
You sang it a cappella.
I did a tap dance routine, too.
We played a song called...
And the other one is 1,000 Umbrellas, which is an XTC song from Skylocking. It's an incredible cover, and I can't imagine someone selected it to cover, but they did a great job. And here's what I'm not listening to. Is U2's friggin' 400th re-release of their crappy albums, and... It popped up on iTunes alternative section.
Yeah.
Why are you pointing at me?
Yeah, well, you were just about to punch.
I
know, but you were just about to punch Russ.
Aren't Bono and Steve Jobs friends?
Can you imagine on the alternative section? Like, they're the antithesis of alternative.
I'm sorry, Tom.
Come on.
I like that Aaron still calls him Bono.
What's his name?
But close enough.
Whatever.
You know,
he wears those funny glasses.
You know when Cher's husband Sonny Bono died when he skied into the tree?
He also just called Boba Fett Booba Fett.
Yeah,
Boba,
you know,
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett, not Booba Fett.
You know Robert Fett.
You know Vinny Fett.
Sarah Fett. Aaron, would you like to shout out anything but puttyworld.com?
No, yeah, I'll give a shout out, which is... to my own self-interest.
Of course.
Company Up Aerospace.
Up
run
what?
By a very cool inventor. This is his new thing. He had the rocket that shot Scotty's ashes into space. James Dewan. And we were actually on his first rocket with Putty because I want to put Putty in space so
Who
I can
doesn't?
Sell space Putty. Of course.
Right.
And but that rocket blew up. So we actually got the Putty back, but
But
know,
sadly, six it, people died.
That's it, when you get the idea for flame retardant.
It had some small fine particles mixed in with it, probably some of the other cargo
and
that,
people.
Anyway, so the second rocket went up. He's trying to fill the third rocket with stuff. So if you have something you want to send into space, talk to my friend Eric
it's
Knight.
It's like a time capsule, but for space.
Right. So you could say that you flew something or
right,
you had something
question,
in space.
Aaron, I always is space the airspace. That if you wanted just to shoot a rocket into space, if you had a big tract of land in Wyoming and you had a lot of money and you hired some,
like John Carmack, the guy who created Quake and Doom.
Yeah. I mean, what regulations do you have to go through to shoot something into space?
There's all kinds of FAA.
Okay, so
rules,
there is,
and you can do it. You just need to tell them all about it.
Okay.
So that they can tell all the airplanes to get out of the way.
But what is it? You shoot it into space and then it comes back and you get it back?
Well, you have to figure out, you have to plan for where you want it to come back. So it would come back somewhere where, it wouldn't bonk someone on the head.
Yeah.
That's an ouchie. It's funny that was in space.
That flew in space and then came back to Earth. Oh. And then, you know, being infused by the Van Allen belts with mysterious radiation. Might
dude,
take
that's,
over
is that
humanity.
Is that Sammy Hagar Van Halen belts or is it David Lee Roth?
The Van
Halen
belts. It was predicted in their first
so
album and then
awesome.
Discovered by NASA.
Aaron, what's stopping you right now from selling Putty that quote unquote into space?
Todd,
I would never lie to my Putty customers.
What does it?
I can make up a certificate of authenticity.
What does it cost?
The space putty?
Yeah, or to send something.
He's willing to negotiate. Okay. You could get a good price.
What's an idea?
You're sending grams, not pounds.
Okay.
And it's,
Russell,
you know,
how much is my
couple hundred dollars?
How much does my wife
like
weigh just
per
to get
gram,
her away one weekend?
No, not per gram, but you know, for a payload, it has to fit in a certain size container.
You know a lot about science and technology, though. I mean, when it comes back, is there really anything? Is something different about it?
Well,
when it comes back from space,
yeah.
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay.
Haven't you seen
buy my space putty when it comes back from outer
haven't
space?
Haven't you seen movies like when someone goes into space and they come back and their wife's like, something's different about
you? I mean,
there's
no doubt it would be exposed to a great deal of radiation, much more than it would be
and
on Earth.
And it wouldn't have aged as much as putty that was here on the ground at the same time, right?
Putty never ages.
But you know, like,
it lasts forever.
Like, take an identical twin, right?
Yeah.
Right, well, you're talking Einstein there. That's all about velocity and acceleration and speed.
Oh, okay.
Well, that'd be good, though, if you had a set of twins and you weren't, like, too attached to them. You'd be like, hey, Up Aerospace, can I give you one of my twins? Send him into space for a while just to test if he came back, if he'd be any, how much
you
different.
You could totally do that, and Eric would be
See?
All for it.
Wouldn't that be
what
good?
What would the name of the space putty be?
Space putty.
I thought there'd be something catchier, like...
Mel!
Spuddy.
We could come up with something, but I like to, you know... Be
yeah.
straightforward.
Cosmo goo.
No, I think Aaron like said the word putty.
Putty,
in
right?
Because
it's
right.
thinking putty is the product.
Right.
So, you know, we'll figure something out. But
so that is Up Aerospace.
Yeah, help us fill up the rocket so we can get up there.
I think that's fantastic. I love it. I only have a couple shouts, but something I stumbled across. Celebrity art. If you go to www.poplifeart.com, it's a pretty budget website, but the nice thing is it doesn't make as much noise as Russ.
Yeah, I was screwing around with the magnetic putty. It's going to sound great.
This website is devoted to celebrity artists and their art. And
who are some that you saw that you liked?
Well, let's just say, if you were looking to add to your private Pierce Brosnan or Sly Stallone collection of art, this is what you would go to. So basically,
it's just mashed potatoes, it's
Ron Wood and, you know, Paul McCartney, and we get it, Jerry Garcia, you did a lot of drugs and you picked up a paintbrush.
I will tell you though, as an art teacher and artist and kind of historian, like, there are some people that are pretty, like, Garcia is, my opinion is, he's actually a knowledgeable and skilled artist, whereas McCartney is not, Dylan is not. Like, there's you can tell almost immediately who is just someone who has time and money and a studio assistant.
Well,
and compared to someone who actually has some training
or some kind of any vision of what they are trying to put on the media.
Because some of the guys, they make a tremendous amount of very quick pieces, and then they have someone select the ones that are aesthetically appealing based on the elements and principles of design.
You mean don't suck?
Right. But they work backwards from that. Like, they might make 100, right, and then they have a guy come.
Well, that's how a photographer works, right? You take 100 pictures and pick one.
But it's the photographer who's picking.
That's true. Versus the person who can't.
I'm sorry.
No, that was a pretty good...
Bennett's actually a pretty good painter, though, by the way.
Tony Bennett, yeah. I looked at this. The thing is, these artists aren't very... They kind of pick a genre, like, I'll be an impressionist, I'll be a realist, and I'll be... no one... You don't go anyone getting too into pop art or... You guys are just way too into this putty. So am I. Let's just stop the show and watch the magnet go. But out of all the celebrities, Martin Mull.
Really?
Very, very good. I found his art completely different than all the others. It's kind of you can tell he was very influenced by his childhood. He grew up in the 50s. It's nice. You got to check it out. A little bit different than all the other art out there. www.poplifeart.com, and there's an accompanying blog that gives some good commentary on that. And I have to give another shout out to the best online radio station, Woxy, W-O-X-Y, woxy.lala.com. It's a little radio station out of Cincinnati. They just play the best indie music, old, new, everything. They're just fantastic, and you can listen to them on iTunes and everything and rock out. So let's give the last putty update. Let's see. Russ, what did you just do there?
Nothing too good.
Nothing too good? It looks like a cucumber, a sad cucumber now.
It looks like a sea cucumber.
Sea cucumber.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And it's eating itself like the pop.
Pop will eat itself.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Excellent. Well, Crazy Aaron, thanks for coming by and filling
thanks
us with crazy knowledge.
Guys.
And this was, let's see, we had him on number 5, number 40. So we'll have you on about number... Yeah, number... 75,
lucky 75.
Excellent. That was UseWigs Radio podcast number 40. Thanks for stopping in, checking us out.
Blah, blah.